Good afternoon. Welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot to talk about today when several guests on hand for the show. But right off the top here, we're with Athletic Director of the Northwest Missouri State Athletic Department and Andy Peterson. And Andy, it's been a busy week from the administration side of things. And first of all, let's just talk about the men's basketball program. And again, their game that was scheduled for Saturday with Missouri Western has been postponed due to COVID-19 testing. And just to explain a little bit about the process that took place and the reason for the postponement on Saturday.
Yeah, sure. You know, we had games obviously Saturday, and our typical process is to get the guys away from each other for 48 hours after that and then test them. You know, we would have tested this morning actually, to get away from contact tracing and that sort of thing after, you know, a week of practice and games. And unfortunately, we had a couple of student athletes come down with symptoms. So our due process to make sure that we're doing the best we can for our student athletes is to go ahead and test those guys. So because we had symptoms and tested those guys, we're then, you know, kind of forced to contact trace the rest of the team because they'd been around each other, obviously, at a high level on Saturday. So that was kind of our process and what sends us into a quarantine period here. And hopefully we can get everybody back healthy sooner rather than later.
I guess that's just the case of this being 2020, and you kind of have to roll with the pandemic and the protocols and the testing on everything, and just to make sure that everybody's safe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that's where, for us, the trump card is the symptoms. Once you have somebody with symptoms, everything goes out the window, and you've got to do what's best to protect that student-athlete or that person and make sure that you're getting them the proper medical care that they need. And that starts with a diagnosis. So getting those student-athletes tested as quickly as possible was paramount. So that's what we did. And, you know, it's unfortunate we had to quarantine the rest of the guys, but you know, up until that point, we'd had, I think, a couple of them had experienced it this summer, but really hadn't. We had been pretty clean on the men's basketball side since we'd come back to school. So they'd done a tremendous job, you know, maintaining distance from folks and all that stuff. But unfortunately, it's caught up with us here first week of December.
And obviously, then my next question is really dependent upon how the players recover from this. But what's the best case scenario for getting everybody back and ready to play again?
Oh, it just depends. It depends on how long symptoms last. You know. I think there's some changes with CDC guidelines in terms of quarantine, but we've got to go through proper channels with county and state to make sure we're doing that correctly. There is a scenario where we could get back and play next week, but there's a lot of stuff got to go our way for that to happen. Other than that, you know, if we were going to a normal 14-day quarantine, you know, we're probably done for the semester. But like I said, there's still a lot to happen between now and then. I'm not saying one thing, you know, definitively one way or another. We've just got to kind of manage these next few days, see how things go, see if the county and state changed some stuff, and we'll continue to work with our team doctors and medical professionals on campus and make sure we're making sure everybody's safe.
I think one thing that you pointed to just a little bit earlier in an interview too is that the players really have done a good job trying to remain safe and healthy up to this particular point. We've seen some other teams go down with it. Obviously, the first matchup of the year between Northwest and Northeastern State had to be postponed due to some cases on Northeastern State side of thing. That this is just something that players have to deal with, the fans have to deal with, everyone has to deal with right now, just because even if you do everything properly, there's still that chance you're going to become infected.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were on that side of it that first weekend, and you know, now we're on the other side this weekend, and so it is kind of not kind of, it's out of your control. You know, you don't know where you're exposed to it, how you contracted it. You know, if you're sitting in Missouri Western shoes right now, they're healthy, they're ready to play, and they got nobody to play this weekend. So it's that's the part that is, it's kind of crazy and nuts, but you know, it's not necessarily something that you can plan for or try to control, but you just got to manage how you react to it and keep a positive outlook on things and make sure we're doing our best to keep kids safe and make sure they're educated and are doing their best to stay as healthy as they can so we can get a basketball season in.
And when you talk about keeping a positive attitude about this, I think it goes back to something that Coach McCollum talked about during the MIAA media day, the virtual media day, where the outlook is you just don't place a blame on anybody that's coming down with it. It can happen to anybody, and you just have to roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the same thing when we got the call from Northeastern. You know, your initial gut reaction is, man, I hope the kids are okay. And then you just gotta you gotta move on, and you gotta do what you can to stay prepared and fresh and ready to go. And you know, now we've got 10 to 12 guys that are in quarantine that are healthy. They're not experiencing symptoms, but they're in quarantine. So how do we make sure that they're trying to, in their own world, being safe, not going anywhere? You know, how can they stay fit? You know, getting them some home workouts, getting them. You know, can they be safe going out on runs and stuff like that, staying outside, staying away from people, so that when we do get back to basketball, we haven't lost, you know, 10 days of conditioning or 14 days of conditioning and that sort of thing, and we can get back to it as soon as we can.
Along these lines, the MIAA also made an announcement yesterday about a change in how the standings in the basketball championships would be done with kind of a weighted type of way of setting the standings for women's and men's basketball. I might explain a little bit about that. That had to be approved by the athletic directors in the conference, and how that will change things just a bit.
Sure. You know, it just kind of boils down to what we're facing now is, you know, rescheduling the Western game. Where does that fit in the schedule? And right now there's not too difficult, as, you know, it would be, we could play them pretty much any Tuesday night of the year as we've done in the past. So, easy because it's 30 minutes down the road, but you know, the Northeastern State game is a little bit more difficult because of the travel with it, and as we get deeper into the season, you just don't know what games you're gonna have to reschedule them or not, so it becomes harder and harder and harder. And the you know, going into this week, we had, during our meeting that we had last Friday, we talked about we had 70 or 60 games scheduled, and we'd gotten 53 of those played, but we were still, you know, the other seven had been rescheduled. But the further you go into the season, the harder it's going to be to get those games rescheduled. So there's a likelihood that at the end of the year, not everybody's going to get 22 games in. And so how do you manage a 13-0 team against a team that's, you know, 20-2, who's ahead there? So that's kind of where the methodology came from and the reason for it. Not necessarily trying to pulling over on anybody, but just make sure that we're you know, giving credit where credit is due. And there's a couple other, you know, caveats in there. If somebody's next to each other in the standings, but they've won the regular season series, then, you know, you can flip-flop people and stuff like that. So just a way to try to make sure that we're getting a little bit of credit for getting games in if you get games in, but then also those teams that that don't get all of their games in, they've still got some, you know, some credit for winning the games that you do get to play. So it's a fine balance there, but something that we felt like we had to do, especially for seeding for the tournament, you know, that between that 8 and that 9 spot, which traditionally is only separated by a couple of games.
Well, again, just a mark of the times where you have to sit down and make a decision like this. But it looks like, as far as the way the standings are conducted, it's about as fair a way that you can go about it right now.
Yeah, we hope so, and that's the thing. We're trying to avoid getting into issues ahead of time, and you want to get it ahead of coaches as soon as you can so they know what they're up against all year. You don't want to spring this on them the last week of February when everything's so different. You know, you can always go the other way, go back and just say, hey, everybody got 22 games in, and standings are standings, which, you know, the weighted formula kind of allows for that anyway, so... you hope that we don't have to do anything like that, but something that you got to take into consideration.
Well, Northwest has had a couple of home basketball games now with Central Missouri and Lincoln coming to town. The first opportunity that you've had as far as working things with the crowds and making sure everyone was safe there with just being limited to a family of players coming in. How'd the first two games go from the aspect of administering home games?
You know, they went well. Our families were pretty compliant. We had about 150 or so on when we played Central Missouri on Thursday night, and Saturday we had just a few more, probably 165 folks that were able to make it. So I'm happy for them, happy for the kids and their parents, so they get to come and see them and their families come and see the kids compete and play. You know, it was good for us to get a couple of games under our belt because we kind of understand how the flow goes and, you know, our process for pass list and online tickets and stuff like that. But good to get those out of the way. You know, I think that it really is going to help us as we go into the spring semester with, you know, a vast majority, nine of our 11 home games happening in January and February. So that'll be good for us to rely on as we come back after break.
All right. Well, Andy, I know it's a busy day for you, but I appreciate you taking time out to talk with us and explain what's taking place right now with Northwest concerning COVID-19.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Again, that is Andy Peterson with us on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we've got a big show coming up today. We'll be talking with Northwest men's basketball coach Ben McCollum, along with women's head coach Austin Meyer, a player off of Austin's team, and Jalen Haggard. We'll also talk with volleyball coach Amy Worth, and also men's and women's tennis coach Mark Rosewell. That's all coming up on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting from a Bearcat Arena for today's show on this noontime. Enjoyed now by the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team, Amy Worth. And Amy, it's been a while since we've had a chance to talk to you, but it's good
it
to have
sure
you on the
has.
Show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Boy, it's been a weird year up to this point, and probably obviously something that as you go through the ranks and decide that you want to become a coach and go through everything, that you had no idea that this would be something you'd have to get yourself ready for.
No, not ever in your life would you have to think about this or prepare for it. But I always have said throughout this whole challenge is there's no other, you know, the sports world can take on something like this. And because we have to be so flexible and we have injuries. And so I always try to put it in a positive with what we can control. And we're used to, as coaches, going with the ebbs and flows, although this is a little bit bigger than we ever thought that would happen. But I think from the standpoint of how we're going to deal with it, we can flex, we can do it.
And when all this first hit back in March, of course, that affected training as far as off season in the spring. And then you go into summer and you think, well, we'll see how this goes.
Right.
And you get into fall and then everything keeps getting pushed back and pushed
right.
back and pushed back. But as a coach, how did you deal with this with your players to make sure that they're going to be ready for what looks to be a spring season coming up?
We had a lot of communication, which I feel like we're pretty strong with that anyway. And we got to figure out how to use Zoom a lot and broaden our skills with a lot of ways to stay connected. I think our strength and conditioning coach has done a great job of just trying to create workouts any way that they can. And then our players have done, you know, an awesome job from the standpoint of just whether it's group me check-ins and doing workouts together, and a lot of the stuff we can't do with them or require them to do at certain points of the summer or certain points of, you know, when we get done with our school year, that their commitment level has really been tested. But, you know, that's okay because our commitment level is high anyway. So we've really, you know, rose to the challenge from the standpoint of what I know that they're capable of doing. So
I would imagine too, there's obviously the aspect of making sure that from a physical conditioning standpoint they're ready to go, but something like this, it's as important on the mental side of things to make sure that they can kind of keep the grind going, and they just don't kind of get down and say, well, you're just doing this for nothing at this point, that there is going to be a season.
Yeah, you like to give them the light at the end of the tunnel from the standpoint of the carrot that can be out in front of them. And I think, you know, there's so much things, as I said earlier, that there's only so many things we can control. And the application, I think, is important from our perspective as a coaching staff. And we always try to control our controllables and focus on the process. So, again, just doing those same things in these situations, I think, gives them a greater chance that they're going to apply these things and anything they come across life with. But I just think when we get in the gym, anytime we've gotten in the gym, we got to train with them this summer, which that seems so wrong. You know, we've never been able to do that before. And so we had a really good training session this summer. We're able to be in and kind of see our team, which we didn't get a lot to see in the spring. And then we had some of our new players in also in the summer at that time. So that was a positive, because if we just had a normal spring, you know, our new players wouldn't have been in. So we just, like we said, we are always trying to be positive and turn into a positive. And just from the standpoint of the mental side, I think the individual meetings has been really important. You know, we've read some books along the way about how to deal with adversity, but what can we control? How can we focus on the process? And then we just try to compete as much as we can when we get in the gym. And I think that's what, you know, our players crave to begin with. Obviously, craving outside competition is important, but we can't really control that. So I think they've done a great job being able to be adaptable and flexible throughout this whole pandemic.
How have you changed the protocols for practice to remain safe in this COVID era?
Well, we've done a lot of different things through the phases all of the pandemic. At the beginning, we had to do individuals. So we could have players in at the same time, but they couldn't, you know, right at the very beginning when we didn't know too much about anything, but we're just happy to get in the gym. We couldn't even share volleyball. So there was a time where we did that. And there was a time when we worked in some small groups. There was also times where, you know, we had, I actually came down with COVID, and luckily with the way that we had practices set up, none of our players were actually contacts in all of it. So just trying to be smart with more than likely we are going to get some positives because we are in a high risk situation with 18 to 22 year olds and just being around a lot of people. How can we try to minimize that as much as possible with what we know so far of COVID and, you know, what the CDC is requiring and are recommending, and then what our athletic trainers are, you know, asking of us. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that. And then we got into some more team practices as we got more comfortable with being around each other and feeling like we were staying at a medium risk, you know, because in the fall we weren't testing. So we had to do what we could do to be smart with our players and how much risk they're, you know, I said the greatest risk I want you to take is going to class and being around other people, but everything else, let's try to minimize that risk. And our whole theory for that was just trying to get ready for the spring because, you know, we're going to want to try to minimize any disruption that we can control. And, you know, some things you can't control in this, but let's try to keep our risk at pretty low and get used to what that feels like with trying to stay on campus versus going out and about. So we've touched on a lot of stuff outside of the sport when it comes to off-court stuff and minimizing the risk there as much as we can. But on the court, I feel like we've gotten a couple of machines now through the Booster Club. One of them through the Booster Club that's going to allow us to do a lot of individuals. So the game of volleyball is hard because as in basketball, you can go and shoot by yourself. But for volleyball, there's only one close skill, and that's serving. Everything else is open based on all the other touches from someone else. So we ended up getting a Basically, it's a pitching machine that you would use for baseball or softball, but they've turned it into a machine that you can have hit at you, you can have it serve at you, and that's one of the things the game of volleyball is so much about, controlling your possession on your side, and two of those skills are serving and passing. And as you can hear, there's two people involved in that, and a lot of the time, based on every situation that we're having to be prepared for, we might only be able to be in the gym with a player. So what can we do to be ready for that if it happens again? So I think, you know, hats off to the Booster Club, hats off to our graduate assistant. She's doing a study, and she also got a AccuSpike, which allows a person to be able to go hit a ball that's, you know, being held in the air by a machine. So we're ready for whatever comes. Hopefully none of it comes, but we're ready to be able to pivot a lot quicker and be prepared for you know, the who's, what's, and where's of what happens. And if we get shut down again and we have to be in small groups, we're going to be ready for that. So just trying to use it and apply it to whatever we're doing here in the spring.
Now, without the matches this fall, I know you announced about a month ago about the signing of four recruits coming in for the next season. How different was it to be recruiting in this day and age as well? I know in one aspect you didn't have to worry about your own matches, but to be maybe go out and about. But again, the limitations involved with getting into gyms and seeing players, mm-hmm. I imagine, is a little bit tough too.
Yeah, it was something that we had to, again, use communication skills to talk with all of our recruits to try to figure out, you know, each county's different, each state's different. And so just communicating to say, hey, can we get on a pass list? Are you allowing, you know, people outside of your families in the gym? So we were able to get into quite a few high school matches this fall, more than normal. That's always it's a bonus, but you know, we're just craving evaluations as much as we can with, you know, our club volleyball last year, which is our main recruiting mechanism, was called short, you know, cut short last spring. So for us, we almost feel like football coaches because we're trying to get every amount of film that we can and sit and watch them, where our gold standard box is usually being in person. But again, you know, we've pivoted and found a way to be able to get evaluations, period, and we feel really good about our 2021 class coming in, and we're already working on our 22s, just with having a spring, you know, spring schedule. It's going to be hard for us to recruit in our normal time frame for that junior, upcoming junior class. So hopefully we've already got some verbals coming in here soon, fingers crossed, and we can get done with some of those commitments before we even start our season. But you know how it goes. Plans go down the tubes real fast, but we've put a lot of work into our recruiting side because it is something that we've been able to do for sure.
And I would imagine too, just the success you've had in the last several years really aids in that aspect as well. As like you can see, recruits can see the progress you've been making in the mm-hmm. program, and again, a chance for them to continue on with the success if they come here.
Yeah. There has definitely been a different, you know, a lot of time you get emails from people talking about recruiting them, and those tones have changed where they're talking about the seasons that we've had, and you can see the process taking place that people and recruits are now being drawn to us instead of us having always to go to them. So it's been kind of fun to see. But yeah, there has been many, many emails reaching out, but done a great job from the standpoint of our recruiting staff, going through our process and choosing the right Bearcats for us.
Again, we're talking with Amy Worth, the head volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State. And let's just talk about the spring now as we kind of pivot to this with the schedule coming up. I understand that you can begin the week of February 22nd. And just kind of talk about how this season's shaping out, how the schedule's been made, and just the process that goes into this spring season.
We are, as a coaching staff for MIAA, putting our schedule together. We just had our first meeting today, and so we're divided into two divisions, north and south. The MIAA did that for us, but besides that, we're taking it upon ourselves to get a schedule together. And then we're going to look at having a postseason conference tournament, and being able to have everyone get in the tournament, just from the standpoint of not knowing what's going to happen with our season and how many positives and all the things that go with, you know, COVID and being able to quarantine and all the things that go with that and isolation. So we're trying to get you know, just as much play dates as possible. So we've just started on that schedule. We're going to focus on scheduling all of our divisional, you know, opponents first, and then go cross division as much as we can. And, you know, like I said, our girls are craving playing opponents and outside competition. That's just really how you gauge yourself and what you've been doing in the gym. And so I know they're looking forward to that week of February 22nd. It'll be 400 some days before between our last match and our first match. So we're looking forward to it and get back into the swing of things with warm-ups and understanding the atmosphere, but we're excited.
And I imagine, too, just that from the standpoint of some sports are having their entire seasons wiped out, the fact that you're able to get a season in, even if it is delayed, that means just a lot to the program.
Yeah, it's been something that you don't know if it's going to happen. I know the MIAA has been working their tails off with trying to figure out how we can do it, and I know we've been a conference that Mike Gracie's been really trying to push. We need to play. We want to play, and we want to be the last conference that pulls out. And I feel that from them, and they've put a lot of, time in. And I know a bunch of administrations from across all of our conference schools have put a ton of time in to try to figure out how we're going to get our heads wrapped around this and do it for student athletes. And so we feel that we're excited. We don't care when we play. We're going to get it done and at least, get some games under our belt so that we can turn around, have a short off season, and get back after it in the fall.
Yeah, I imagine, too, from the standpoint of volleyball in particular, where you have so many of the girls growing up, play a lot of summer ball, and thanks to where the short off season probably is not as big a deal as maybe it would be for some other sports.
No, it's not that big of a deal. I think one of the things that we joke around with, you definitely start feeling the pains your junior and senior year of college. You don't feel so young anymore. So I think it's going to be interesting to see our upperclassmen turn around with a shorter break of being, just resting to see how their bodies do, but they'll do fine. It's just all just different, different mentality that we've had to come upon of just, we're just grateful that we get to play. So,
all right. Well, Amy, thanks a lot for being with us on the Coaches Show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. That is Amy Wirth, head volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State. We'll be back and have more in our Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at NWMCell.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey. Praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prinery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's game is brought to you by the Estates of Maryville, a vintage cooperative presenting adults 55 and better an inside-outside maintenance-free individual home ownership and active lifestyle within a new development off Icon Road in Maryville. More information is at vintagecooperatives.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're joined now by a senior guard on the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team, Jalen Haggard. And Jalen, good to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And it's been an unusual year, to say the least, a little bit later as far as getting your season underway. But I think the big thing for you, and I know you've talked to Matt about this on one of our pregame shows too, is just the fact you don't take any game for granted that you get a chance to play.
Yeah, definitely. That's something we're not used to, is just taking
every game week by week. You never had to worry about if a team was going to be sick or, you know, things like that. So when we prepare, we just have to prepare one game at a time and take whatever we get.
And it's been a pretty good season up to this point, 2-2 on the year, and coming off a good win Saturday with Lincoln University. How have you seen this team grow in the season right now?
We've grown a lot just by, I think, this is the most I've seen people in the gym all year, so that's been really cool. As us upperclassmen, that's been something we've established since we've gotten here, is that we wanted to be in the gym as much as possible. So to come in the gym and get my shots up and see half the team already in there is really cool, and I think all that hard work just shows on the floor.
Now, you came in and contributed immediately as a freshman, being a co-MIAA Freshman of the Year, and been a part of this program really from the outset of coming onto campus. And now as a senior, what can you bring to this team as far as maybe helping some of the younger players along that are getting some chance to play right off the start, much like you did when you were a freshman? Can you kind of help them over some of the things that you had to deal with when you were a freshman?
Yeah, definitely. That was another thing my senior class kind of talked about, was when we – our goal our freshman year was when we're seniors, we want to be good examples and lead by example. So when we saw all of our underclassmen come in, we just wanted to welcome them with open arms and kind of show them the ropes and show them kind of where we want this program to go. And I think we didn't even have to worry about that anyways, because all of our underclassmen are incredibly hard workers. But it's just been fun to get to know them and watch them grow and kind of be a part of this culture and see us change.
It seems like it's a pretty good mix right now.
Oh yeah, definitely. We have a lot of fun both on and off the floor, so I wouldn't have it any other way.
Now, in the Rogers State game, you became a member of a pretty elite club at Northwest Missouri State, the 1,000-point club. And what's that mean to you to know that you're listed with a lot of Bearcat greats through the years?
Yeah, it's a really awesome opportunity, and I've told everyone, you know, people are like, oh, is that a goal you make for yourself? And, you know, you never really think about it until it starts creeping up on you. So when I heard I was close, you kind of have to flush that, because you can't let that kind of take over your mentality. But just to know that there's a lot of talented basketball players that are in that club and just to be a part of it is really cool.
Now, of course, obviously, 1,000 points, it means you've had an opportunity to get a lot, to score a lot. Mm-hmm. But one thing that Coach Myers talked about, and I think some coaches know about this, but obviously maybe fans don't appreciate as much as they should, just the job you do on the defensive side. That's something that Coach Myers talked about that a lot of people overlook, that you're an awfully good defensive player out there.
Yeah, and that was kind of something I wanted to work hard on when I got here. In high school, you can ask my high school coach, I was probably the worst defender on our team. And so whenever I got here, I just knew how important defense was going to be at this level. And so I've had good role models to look up to since I've been here, and it's just been something I enjoy and take pride in, which I never thought I would say. Defense used to not be my thing, but just seeing how good other teams are, defense wins games, and you can ask Houston that. He preaches that all the time. So yeah, it's been exciting and fun just to kind of incorporate that into my game.
And we're at Bearcat Arena with the coach's show today, and Adai Houston's out there working with a couple players individually at the moment. What has Adai done as far as helping your game up? Of course, Adai playing in Northwest, a guard and a similar type of player than what you are. Has he been able to help you along?
Yeah, he's been amazing, that's for sure. He's helped me a lot. During games, he'll tell me what I need to fix or look for, and then obviously, as you can see off the floor, he's in here working with everybody. But he has a list, you know, in his office of each person and everything they need to work on when they come in the gym. So all you have to do is walk in and ask him, what can I work on? And he's got a list of things ready for you. So he's very observative, and he's a great teacher, and I love to learn. So he's been super helpful in growing my game.
As we mentioned, several new players coming into the program this year. Has that changed your role as far as being in the starting lineup and what's expected of you out on the floor this year?
Yeah, I would say a little bit, just because my freshman year I was in the point guard position, so I had a little bit more freedom to kind of make stuff happen. And obviously we have a lot more talent and tools on the floor, so I kind of just do what they need me to do. If they need me to bring it up, I'll bring it up. If they need me to stay on the wing and shoot it, I'll do that too. So yeah, I don't have to worry much about putting pressure on myself to make things happen, because we have 5+ girls that are capable to do stuff on the floor.
Now, on Saturday against Lincoln, they put up a little bit of a full court press, and there in that second half, it looked like saw some of your softball skills come to light with that long baseball pass down the floor.
Yeah, Meyer told us before the game, he was like, if there's an open look, he said, I don't even care if you throw it out of bounds, just check it. And so I kind of gave Emma a look, like, just go for it, we'll Hail Mary this one. And as soon as I threw it, I was kind of hoping that it was the right decision. Luckily, she caught it. But yeah, I had to kind of go back to my roots there for a second.
Well, it looked right in stride, so it looked like it, that was what was designed there.
I'm glad, because if it got stolen, I don't know if we would have said the same thing.
Well, this week you got a Division I game coming up, second one on the schedule after UMKC last week. This time a trip up to Des Moines to face a very good Drake team. Well, how much fun is it for you to have a chance to go up and test your skills against Division I players?
Yeah, it's really exciting. We know, obviously, with teams like that in UMKC that they're going to be good, and it's definitely not going to be an easy night for us, but it's a really good learning opportunity. It kind of helps us expose ourselves in areas that we need to grow in, so we're excited. It's just another game, and so we don't really care who it's against, you know, regardless of how good they are. We just get to go play and make the most of it.
All right, Jalen, thanks a lot for being with us on the Coaches Show. It's been a pleasure watching you through the years at Northwest, and I look forward to the rest of your career.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Again, that's Jalen Haggard with us, a senior guard from the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team coming from St. Joe Central. We'll be back, have more for you on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni in 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information is available at 660-241-5001.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're joined now by Austin Meyer, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team. And Austin, let's first of all go back to Saturday and the win over Lincoln University, a 30-point win, evening out the record at 2-2. And really seemed like you're able to put a lot of things together for that game.
Yeah, it was one of the better offensive games we've had, in the 3 years that I've been here in the position. But I thought we came out, we competed, we played hard defensively, which was the biggest message to the team. Is we wanted to carry over how hard we played and how we competed in that Central game and move it into Saturday, and I thought we did that.
Yeah, I thought in the matchup with Central Missouri, you got a lot of things I think you were wanting to get done offensively. We got the looks, and some of them just weren't falling in that game that they were able to fall against Lincoln.
Yeah, we missed open shots, and we missed some close ones around the basket against UCM. You know, part of that is you got to factor in their length, too, and how good they are, and they're 6 foot across the board, and even if you do get a lane or a gap, you know, they can close it pretty quick with that size. So Lincoln obviously was a smaller team. There's a little more windows. We were able to go in the post early and take advantage of more mismatches out there. But I thought we played, you know, extremely unselfish on Saturday and made the right read. And when you play unselfish and the ball gets moving and it's drive and kick, the ball tends to go in a little bit more. It wasn't that we were selfish on Thursday. I just thought it. We got it moving a little bit more on Saturday.
Yeah, and really, I thought it looked well in some times when we were able to get things going in transition there.
Yeah, we're a team that, typically we do a pretty good job of controlling the tempo with the way we guard defensively. We're really going to have to do it on Thursday night, I can tell you that. But we typically, the way we guard and our defensive system and how we try to execute in the half court, we tend to be a team that can kind of control it and make it a slower game. But we also, you know, we don't tell them not to run. We just say look for opportunities in transition because we typically make pretty smart decisions in transition and not trying to force things. So if we can get a rebound, get out and go and run our lanes wide and try to get paint and play off of it, we're pretty effective when we do that, and I thought our kids did a good job looking for that.
I think one thing, too, this season where you've been pretty consistent really is on the defensive side. I think you put together some very good defensive games.
Yeah, we have. You know, I think we're doing a decent job of guarding the ball. You know, Saturday's game was a game where, obviously, they're as small as they were. We were able to switch every ball screen, and we did a pretty good job of not getting them advantages. Although, you know, watching back on film, you know, I think the Central game, we played really well defensively. I think we were even better in the Central game, and they scored more, and obviously we lost the game. And they're you know, arguably the best team in the league, where there was some times, you know, in Saturday's game where we had breakdowns, but they didn't make us pay. And that's part of it, too, is we can't just say, well, we, you know, we won by 30 and we held them to, you know, 50 points or whatever it was. But there were some possessions that we had breakdowns that we're going to have to go back and clean up that, you know, teams are going to make you pay more times than not on those.
Boy, you've had some good performances out of some freshmen already this season that have come in. Molly Harton has really made a difference, I think, out of that point guard position.
Yeah, she's really good. She's talented. She's tough. She's competitive. She's comes from a program that she won a state title every year she was in high school. The only thing that stopped her in her senior year was COVID. They had to cancel the Final Four, so didn't have a chance. But she's as competitive as they get, and she's talented, and she can shoot it. She's got a great feel. She's definitely helped us go to another level.
Yeah, and she really doesn't seem like she's intimidated at all about moving up to this next level.
No, not at all. You know, I think she's a kid in the summer that, you know, we watched her shoot her. We watched her five different states. We went to every game last summer of her AAU ball. Her dad actually told me before the last trip in Colorado, he said, "You don't need to go on this trip." And that kind of made me feel good. Like, I guess we got her, but I was like, I'm still going just to make sure, because if we don't go and somebody else is there and she goes somewhere else, I'll be kicking myself. But no, she's not scared. She played a high-level AAU. She played with one of the top players in the country, and they always played against really good opponents. So she's seen Power 5, mid-major kids. She doesn't have a lot of fear in her.
You know, another aspect of that last trip, though, who doesn't want to go to Colorado, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my daughter was a little young then, so that eight-hour drive was a little rough, but now it was definitely worth it.
And as far as looking at other freshmen, Emma Atwood's really developed into a nice player.
Yeah, she has. And, you know, last year she had a little bit of a foot issue and missed quite a bit of practice. But, man, and we knew she's a worker and a kid that was going to continue to get better. And she's really just gone to another level. You know, from when we started in preseason, she came in great shape. You know, I can remember the first conditioning workout we did with Joe in the morning where everybody's pretty gassed after that. And she, you know, it was just another day for her. So I know she does a lot of the running and stuff on her own. And she's finishing well around the basket. You know, we went back and watched film Thursday night, and I felt like she missed a couple easy ones, which she did. She would tell you that, and it felt like it was about five or six. But looking back, she was five or seven from the field. You know, she was, I think, 7 of 10 on Saturday. She just, the whole preseason when we've statted practices, because we do a lot of scrimmage, oh, you know, she was, I want to say she was 60-65% from the field. So that efficiency stuff is important. You know, it's not about how many points you score in a game. It's about how efficient are you. And that's one thing we've struggled with in the past. You know, if you look at our teams the last 2 years, and even, you know, you go back 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever years, the field goal percentage, team field goal percentage is pretty low. You know, 30%, 35%. And if we can be a team that gets that up higher, and a lot of that is, you know, obviously it's talent, it's shot selection, how you get in your shots, are you playing to your strengths? But no, she's been a very efficient player for us. She defends. She can defend multiple positions. Does a good job rebounding, sticking her nose in. She's tough, competitive. So, yeah, it's been a huge addition for us.
Now, the freshman got her first playing time on Saturday. Kaylee Keston there. She really is. I know you've talked about her as being a gym rat, and it was pretty nice to be able to get her out on the floor for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, she had a tough stretch when we went with her early in the Central game, and then we didn't really go back with her. And it was kind of funny because after the game, it's kind of like, hey, stay. And she's like, oh, I know, I get it. You know, she hadn't practiced much, and she hasn't been out there. So we let her play through some things on Saturday's game against Lincoln, and you could kind of see after she got through that initial stretch where she turned it over a few times and struggled defensively a little bit. But once she got settled in the game, you started to see what she could do. You know, she hit a shot. I think she had 3 assists and got downhill a couple times. She's going to be a really good player. She just hasn't been out there on the practice floor. She had a high ankle sprain early and missed 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, part of it was we went back with her pretty quick, which, you know, sometimes you sit there and say, do you go this quick with somebody that's been out that hasn't been practicing? But man, she's one of those kids that when we started preseason, you know, she was always in the gym. She was calling, can I get in at 6 a.m? Can I get in at 9 o'clock at night? My office is right outside the gym. She's in there more than anybody. She was one of three people that made our 2020 preseason conditioning drill out of the entire team. That's a toughness thing. So, she built up kind of that equity that, you know, at the end of the day, like, that's a kid that's going to get a chance to go right away, and somebody that's proved that early, and so she's only going to get better.
Four games in, what have you seen overall out of your team this year?
I think just, you know, offensively being unselfish, and just being so much better offensively overall. And then, you know, I think we have made some adjustments from the first game. You know, I thought we weren't very good rebounding wise or post defense wise, and a lot of that was my fault. We just hadn't worked on it enough in practice when we look back and went over it. But I thought we were really good and made an adjustment there. You know, Thursday night, Jaina Green was great on Collier, fighting around the whole time. Just watching film from Lincoln, I thought Mia was good on Saturday, fighting around, not being content with playing behind. So we've gotten better post-defensive-wise. We've got better defensive rebounding. You know, to hold Central to 5 offensive rebounds in a game, and Collier got 0 was a big step for us. So we just got to keep doing those things, and hopefully we can continue to put things together. And and we're going to have to rebound. We're going to have to defend, and we're going to have to control tempo on Thursday. It'll be fun, but, you know, Drake was up 40 points after three quarters at Minnesota yesterday, so it's going to be a challenge for sure.
Talk about scheduling Drake in this exhibition, your second one against a Division I this year. Last week, of course, down to Kansas City with UMKC, and this time against a very good Drake team. And what goes into deciding that you want to go up against a Division I in an exhibition, and how to go about getting those scheduled?
Well, I'll simplify it and be completely honest with you, John. They go around and they look on the schedule and they see how teams did the last couple of years, and that's who they call. And so they called us because the last few years we haven't had a good record. There's a guy that has an office up in the athletic department named Ben McCollum who's not getting a lot of calls from Division.
I was going to say, you don't want to be too good, too.
he's not getting many Division I calls. I hope. I feel like we're trending that direction, but hopefully we won't be getting those. As fun as the games are, hopefully we're not getting those calls a year for two now from now, because we're at a level that people don't want to play you. But it's a great opportunity for our kids, you know, especially our Iowa kids too, Kylie Coleman, to go back home. Unfortunately, Peyton won't be playing because she's out, but for her to get back home, Ellie Horn, Emma Atwood. So, just, you know, the Iowa kids getting a chance to play. And it'll be a great challenge. They got size. They can shoot it. They can score. They put up 100 points on Iowa. So we may have to have one of you guys go pull a shot clock plug or something, see if we can get that thing turned off and control the tempo a little bit.
All right, we can do that. That's no problem. I would imagine, too, it's something that can just really, for the most part, benefit the team as you go back into the MIAA schedule after that.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, the things that you talk about offensively, defensively, guarding the ball, blocking out, there's some games you can get away with some things like that. This will be a game that we won't get away with mistakes. They'll make you pay. You know, a good mid-major team that you're not going to get away with not guarding the ball in a possession or forcing a shot or not getting back on defense. They will make you pay pretty much every time.
What about the testing protocols to play a Division I school as opposed to the MIAA protocols with COVID? I understand that there's some things that are going into that are a little more detailed than what you normally have to go through.
Yeah, we could sit here, and I think the day of the UMKC game, I think I sat in my office for 2.5 hours trying to diagram the protocols, because with the Division I, so what they're doing is you're having to test three times prior to the game. So you know, for Drake, it was three times prior to the game. It couldn't be on back-to-back days, and it couldn't be on the day of the game. So what we've done, you know, with MIAA games is we usually typically test on Tuesday, which gets us outside of that 48-hour window of our game Saturday. Therefore, you don't worry as much about the contact tracing. You're also being safer because the kids aren't around each other during that contact tracing 48 hours. So typically we take Sunday off. We do individual work on Monday, then you test on Tuesday morning, and then you're good to go once you get the negative test. So it made it a lot tougher that we had to test after the game Saturday. We had to test this morning. We're going to have to test Wednesday. So there's really no way around the contact tracing that if we thankfully we were all negative today, but if we get a positive test on Wednesday, we'll have to shut her down most likely. So it's a little more strategy in these Division I games with that, but obviously number one, it's about safety and, you know, playing the game the safest way possible.
How do you prepare for Drake on Thursday, a Division I exhibition game. Then, you know, another 2 days later, you're down in St. Joe against an MIAA opponent, games account with the Missouri Western. It's kind of a delicate balancing act trying to get ready for that Western game.
It is, because at the end of the day, you know, the Drake game doesn't count for us. But also, we want to make sure we're ready and prepared to do everything we can do to compete in a game like that. But, yeah, we'll probably Tuesday, you know, typically Tuesday is our get after it practice day. So we'll probably blend a little bit of what they do to defend, and then a little bit of what Western does. And we'll work the Western scout. And, you know, one thing I think that's good for us, and the same way we've done it, and Mac does it pretty similar as well, is, you know, everything you do defensively, you do every day. You know, guard the ball, get through screens, ball screen defense. You know, that pretty much your defensive system has everything in place that you don't have to spend, you know, hours on what are we going to do defensively against this team, because you already know it. Now, there's certain things or certain sets that you need to show them and be ready for, but I think that just helps simplify it with the kids, that they just know this is our defensive system. Here's some tendencies that teams do, but we just got to go be us. And I think that helps you not have to spend as much time on a scouting report where things can get cluttered within their heads. And you want your kids to just play free without having to overthink it.
All right. Well, Austin, thanks a lot for being with us here, and good luck for your games coming up this week.
All right. Thanks, John.
That's Austin Meyer with us on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow has provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center, open 7 to 7 daily. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. The walk-in clinic is also open from 8 to noon Saturdays. Appointment information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Bearcat Bookstore and the J.W. Jones Student Union. The bookstore supplies Bearcat apparel for men, women, and kids, as well as gifts, accessories, and Northwest logo items. More at nwmissouri.bncollege.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
We're back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting the show this week from our perch at Bearcat Arena, where we broadcast our basketball games, and we're joined now by Mark Roosevelt, the head Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis coaches. And Mark, it's good to have you with us on our program. And you've been at the arena in spirit, at least, here in the last game, with a big cardboard cutout of you right behind the home bench there, kind of rooting on the team with your smiling face there.
Yeah, John, someone gave the comment that I was a little stiff, so there you go.
All right. Let's talk about your team a little bit. It's been a little bit of a strange year for everyone involved. Of course, with tennis in the fall, is primarily ITA play and more individual type of tournaments, and that's been changed a bit as well this past fall due to COVID.
Yeah, we're allowed to practice this fall, John, and we had, I think, 6 out of 7 of the ladies here. But on the men's, we only had about 40% of our roster. They elected to stay home for the semester, which was, I thought, a really admirable thing for the university to do that, to allow them to do that. Of course, most of our kids are international kids, so it's a big commitment coming back and forth. And keep in mind that, you know, last spring, you know, we only got through about a third of the season. So 2/3 of the season was cut in the spring, too.
Yeah, that's one of the things with the spring schedule last year. You guys just got started. I think, and weren't you guys on a road trip even when everything got halted?
That's exactly right, John. We were watching that basketball, what was going to happen with the NCAA basketball tournament there and here. I remember seeing the pictures of the gym as it is right now, and it was all decorated, looked great, and they were getting ready to host their first game, and we were seeing it on Facebook through Colin McDonald and that type of thing. And then no play, and then shortly after then we were canceled too, and so it was really strange.
Your women's team this year, you're going to have a lot of, you're bringing in a lot of good young players into the program, and it really looks like this is a group that likes to be out on the court and practice, from what I've been able to see with this group.
Yeah, John, 6 out of 8 freshmen, if you can believe that. That's just kind of how it worked out, and then a sophomore and a junior. But I say freshmen, but they're talented freshmen. Now, we're probably lacking on experience a little bit. I don't know. We really didn't play any matches. So, it's, you know, we play challenge matches in practice and so forth. But until you really get into the real thing, you find out more then. But, you know, in practice, they sure look good.
Yeah, and just the thing that stands out is just how much they love just to be out there and hit.
They're out there all the time. They really enjoy the game. And, you know, with our facilities where they are now with those beautiful courts, and the lights came in this fall, so they were able to come back and practice if they wanted to on their own. And then, of course, getting into Hughes later on, which will be in there quite a bit in January and February, hopefully. It's wonderful.
I know all sports have their own set of protocols as far as being safe when you're able to work out, and eventually this upcoming spring when hopefully everything falls in place where you can get a spring season in this year. But from a tennis standpoint, I think probably you can be about as safe in playing tennis as about any of the sports that are offered here.
Yeah, you know, when you look at that protocol from the NCAA released and so forth, I think we're number 10 as far as being the most safe, as far as, you know, being up close and so forth. So that's certainly a good thing for us in the sport of tennis. Of course, we didn't really play hardly any doubles this fall either, and we were just kind of going by the book and trying to be as safe as we can, knowing that we didn't have any matches, no need to. Something else we cut out in the fall. We did not do conditioning, the group conditioning, which normally they would do and so forth, just to try to, you know, try to be as safe as we can. And I can say that on our women's team, we did not have a case this fall. We were very happy about that.
All right. Well, good deal. And we look forward to talking to you as we get ready for hopefully a spring season coming up when we move the calendar to 2021.
Okay, and I look forward to being down at Missouri Western on Saturday, John. I'm told I'm going to be there.
Probably the best seat in the house, too.
That's correct. All right.
Again, that's Mark Rosewell, the head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State. We'll be back. Have more for you on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fan wear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
John Coffey back with you on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we wrap up another week's program. Don't forget, coming up this week, it's women's basketball on KXCV KRNW. The Northwest women travel to Des Moines on Thursday. They face a very good Division I team in the Drake Bulldogs. Matt Trenton and I will have all the play-by-play of that one for you beginning at 5:30 with our pregame leading up to the 6 o'clock tip-off on Thursday for that exhibition game.
And then on Saturday, again, it's a women's only game as the Northwest women travel to St. Joseph to face Missouri Western. The men, due to COVID-19 issues, will not be playing. That game will be made up at a later date, but the women's game will tip off at 1:30. We'll have the pregame beginning at 1 o'clock with our pregame before that Missouri Western and Northwest matchup. So again, that's coming up on Thursday and Saturday, Northwest women's basketball on KXCV KRNW. And that'll do it for this week's edition of the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.